Technorama episode 366 for January 30th, 2013. Transporter accident.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'm looking for the Lewis Tully Ghostbuster Lego minifig. Got one?
Over there, in the media corner.
Oh, you guys have everything.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for January 30th, 2013. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. I thought I said a light heart attack. How many times have I read this over the last 8 years? I'm still doing stuff like that. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm a little bit black and white and gray in the middle.
You must really be dieting hard because you're starting to disappear.
Yeah, actually, I'm doing an experiment. I'm trying out the Google Hangout with the ultra-low bandwidth setting and see what happens.
It's ultra-low. It's like 2-bit. Yeah. Yeah, black and white, and half of them aren't there.
Yeah, well, it's a little grayscale there.
But it's not even grayscale.
No, it isn't. It's kind of like, weird.
Yeah.
Actually, it looks like I put an emboss filter on my video.
Do one of those 60s LSD dances with your hands. Oh, yeah. That's trippy. You did a little too much LDS in the 60s.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, if you're not joining us on the live cam or you don't want to go over to the YouTube channel, you're missing out on the fun. We're just doing weird stuff here. And that's it. We're trying to compensate for some bandwidth issues. So Craig doesn't lose any spousal point units by telling his wife to stop streaming during podcast time.
I know. I've told her before, but, you know, I will.
A Sunday night is sacred night.
That's when
we go worship the Technorama temple.
I'm drinking a black and white beer.
Ew. It's Mutter's milk.
Yeah.
Either. Coming up it's like in a this one episode, zero. We have space monkeys, monkey butlers, and monkeys that are super smart and secretly on the U.S. government. I smell a lot of poo-flinging going on in this show.
What do you think of Technorama?
It's great. There's no other word for it.
Hi, this is Gil Gerard, and you're listening to Technorama.
Technorama! It's the smartest thing you've done all day. Yeah, you're having one of those days again, aren't you?
Yeah. Hey, you've seen some of my regular days, you'll know that this is about the smartest thing I've ever done.
It's the best choice you've made.
That's right.
Who are we got in the chat room this week? We don't have any nicknames, so we'll just go with the straight names. Comedy Forecast, Captain Rootbeer, C. Tomasi, Gru, Madmar, Podio Media Chat. Hey, another podcaster's on the air with us. Several of them, in fact. In fact, that's about all we get these days. Tim Elliott and ZML2008. Thank you for joining us. We do the show live Sunday night at Google Plus Hangouts. We want to see you there. You can just head over to our website at chuckchat.com/webcam. And it's all there. The chat room, the live feed. Or, you know, if you're on Google Plus,
and
you
us.
Can watch for us. And us. Yeah. And you. And you, and you, and you. So join us there, and we will see you and give you a shout out. Other people we want to give a shout out to are on the birthday calendar over at chuckchat.com/wiki. We looked up this week, and the magic calendar says nothing left in January. Well, it's the 30th as we roll this show out, so there is nothing left after this, at least not on the calendar. So we turn to February. We turn that magical calendar over. Here we go. Oops, that was part of my PowerPoint. February 1st, Matt Baum, a.k.a. Racer X from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Happy birthday. Also on February 1st, Brandon Kirkwald in Minnesota. For a moment, I thought it was Brandon from Kirkwald, Minnesota. Chuck Provenzano, a.k.a. Pod Lurker, a.k.a. Chuck's evil twin. On February 2nd, also on February 2nd, you know, that reminds me, I was setting up my sister for Facebook today. Other than mom, she's the last sibling, but other than my mom, the whole family's on there now. Okay. And she was trying to make me her first friend. And there's another Chuck Tomasi in Tampa, Florida.
Well, wait a minute. There's another Chuck Tomasi, but he lives in Florida.
Boy, is he getting a lot of spam.
Wait a minute, but you see, listen to what you said, though. There's another Chuck Tomasi in Florida. There's more than one in Florida?
Yeah, well, there's another in Florida. You've been listening to too much Grammar Girl, haven't you?
I know.
Last night I went hunting for an elephant in my pajamas. How he got in my pajamas, I'll never know.
All right.
February 2nd is also Oreo Cookie Monster. I'm sorry, when I read that, all I can think of is Cookie Monster singing, Ebony and Ivory live together in my big Oreo cookie.
Oh, boy. You know,
there will be no more Cookie Monster singing in this show. Count on it.
Yeah. Thank you.
February 3rd, you and Campbell McGregor. If that's not a Scottish name, I don't know what is, because it's a good thing he's from Scotland. And Adam Stepp.
Ewan McGregor?
Adam, is that your uncle? Brother?
That's my brother.
Brother. Born just a few days after
you. Yeah, he's not on the birthday calendar. I thought I'd throw him in there.
Okay, happy birthday, Adam. And happy birthday to everybody else.
Wait a minute.
Yes?
Hey, let's be clear. He was born 2 years younger than me, not just a few days.
Well, you know, there's... Did you ever watch Twins with Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Okay. I know. Some of that was funny.
That's not what I'm saying is happening here. But anyway.
Okay.
Happy birthday to all of you. And if you're not on the birthday calendar, head over there and we will wish you a happy birthday. Well, we wish you a happy birthday anyway if it's your birthday this week. But go over to chuckchat.com/wiki and get your name on there and we'll give you a shout out. I see people are still tweaking that every day or two. So thank you very much for all of that love that you give us there. And we want to see you on the Hangout on Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern time, as we mentioned. And somebody else we haven't heard from in a long, long time. We have a listener voicemail. Mark in Memphis.
Okay. Hey, guys. It's Mark in Memphis. Said you hadn't heard from me for a while, so I thought I'd call since you were talking about something in Memphis. You went a little too hard after it. Chuck, you got to remember where the thing is located. It's just Le Bonheur Hospital. Bye.
I was saying what? Le Bonheur or Le Bonheur or Le Bonheur? Yeah. Easier said than done.
I think Le Bonheur sounded funny.
Le Bonheur. Oh, wait, Bonheur is down by Curacao and Aruba. So, thank you, Mark. Apparently, now we have to harass our listeners into giving us feedback.
Yeah, that's right.
If that doesn't work, I don't know what will. On this day in history for January 30th, 2013, this is the 30th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 335 days remaining in 2013. Nothing left in that Mayan calendar. Glad I got rid of that. It was on this date in 1790. In the first boat specializing as a lifeboat is tested, didn't say if it passed, on the River Tyne.
Also on this date in 1806, the original Lower Trenton Bridge, which spans the Delaware River between Morrisville, Pennsylvania and Trenton, New Jersey, is opened.
Edward Bransfield sights the Trinity Peninsula.
I see it!
And claims the discovery of Antarctica today in 1820.
The Mid-Ice Suspension Bridge, considered the world's first modern suspension bridge, is connected the Isle of Anglesey and the northwest coast of Wales, is open on January 30th, 1826.
151 years ago today, the first American Ironclad warship, the USS Monitor, is launched.
MS Hans Heldorf, said to be the safest ship afloat, is unsinkable, like the RMS Titanic, struck an iceberg on her maiden voyage and sank, killing 95 aboard on this date in 1959. Don't ever say that about a boat.
Ranger 6 is launched 49 years ago today.
And today in 1969, the Beatles' last public performance on the roof of the Apple Records in London, the impromptu concert is broken up by the police.
Happy birthday goes out of the state to Franklin D. Roosevelt, the 32nd president of the United States, born today in 1882.
Also born on this date in 1912, German physicist Werner Hartmann.
Lex Luthor, at least the one I grew up with. Actor Gene Hackman is 83.
And musician Phil Collins turns 62 today.
And finally, Batman! Actor Christian Bale turns 39. And that's the way it was on this day in history for January 30th, 2013!
And the good news keeps on coming.
The good news is that J.J. Abrams is now going to direct the new Star Wars movie. I'm sure everybody's heard that by the time this podcast comes out. But hey, why not? We're having fun with it.
It seems like the day actually became a reality. It's like the internet just blew up. That's all I saw everywhere was, hey, J.J. Abrams. And of course, I reposted it too.
Just think, we won't have to buy three more editions with special effects. He's going to put every special effect in one film.
Special effect.
More lens flares!
Yay. Well, actually, who was that? One of our commenters pointed out that I think you may have posted, 100% more lens flares in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Well, there was zero to begin with, so zero times 100 is zero.
zero divided by, something divided by zero is undefined, so.
Yeah, undefined.
Black holes.
Yeah. No, actually, to be honest with you, I think this actually, I posted that this one made my nerdometer go from meh to somewhat interesting to muy interesante, because I think that J.J. Abrams would do a bang-up job on Star Wars.
Mad Marv in the chat room is saying he should just reboot the franchise while he's at it, too.
He should do what?
Reboot it.
Reboot Star Wars?
Right. That'd give a whole new meaning to bad robot.
Hey, let me tell you. Yeah. Here's what I thought. Let me throw this at you. Okay, everybody was lost on the last three movies, especially that one point when Lucas took the mysticism out of the Force and mentioned midichlorians, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if Mark Hamill is in there as Luke Skywalker, which is kind of reported he's going to be, he should, as he's teaching the Jedis, or the young Padawans, he should say something like, the midichlorians doesn't matter. You can learn the Force no matter what, and kind of dismiss it.
I'm trying to force you.
Yeah. It doesn't work. But he'd get everything back on track. See what I'm saying? Just kind of.
If Mark Hamill's in this one, just think how old and ugly the Emperor is.
Yeah. He's rotten to the core.
Well, yeah, he did fall down the core, but he's probably rotten down there.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. I don't know. What do you think?
I'm interested. It's got hope.
Yeah.
Maybe it depends on the script again. I hope we get some better dialogue this time.
Yeah, well, you know who's writing it, right?
Who's writing it?
His name escapes me. It's the same guy that wrote Toy Story 3. And
all right.
And that movie had a lot of heart.
Maybe the chat room can help us out on that one.
Anyway. Hey,
by
the way.
Speaking of bad robots.
I think, by the way, I got one more theory here. And this is a long shot, but since we got J.J. Abrams is in charge of Star Trek and Star Wars, I think we can finally settle the long dispute of which one wins.
Wah, 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 wah. And then he can direct Batman and Superman.
Remember on Slice of Sci-Fi, they went for almost a year.
Yes.
Talking about which
yes.
It's like the Borg and Enterprise, which one would win.
Yes.
No, wait, the Borg and...
Speaking of robots, we're not getting into that. The FDA says it's okay to have robot doctors. And when I first read this headline, I thought it said the FDA says it's okay to hate robot doctors. But that shows my reading skills today.
Hey, that may be as true as well.
The FDA has approved the first robot doctor, a machine created by iRobot. Isn't that the company that Will Smith was working for? The same company that made your Roomba. Yeah. It's called the RPVITA, and it's awesome.
Hey, so it can actually vacuum the floors and also remove your appendix in an emergency.
Same hose is used for liposuction. It's basically a big screen with an iPad interface that lets a doctor examine a patient remotely. Hold still, this won't hurt. Poke, poke!
Yeah.
But RPVITA is not just a basic checkup. Apparently it works in pre-op and post-op, as well as during surgery itself, in a variety of categories from psychology to neurology to cardiology and so on. So how cool is that? What would you think if you were just coming out of surgery and the robot rolled up to you with the screen and the doctor's face said, how are you today? You know, it'd be kind of like Skype.
I don't know. She looks like she's hating her robot doctor pretty good. The picture.
As long as the video looks better than what you got on your webcam, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
You come out of your surgery. You know, you may be a little foggy after these drugs. I can't see Craig. Something's wrong.
Here, let me examine a little closer. Yeah. I'm sorry my bandwidth is a little thin today. My wife is streaming some TV.
News from the chat room. Michael Arndt is apparently writing the...
Michael Arndt, that's correct.
He aren't writing it, and neither am I.
Yeah, but he's writing it. What was the other thing he did? Michael Arndt. Anyway, I'll look it up.
Speaking of robots with tools and surgery, what the heck? We got a robot with a chainsaw used for carving stuff.
Yeah, like you said, speaking of surgery.
Hey, it's a KUKA robot. You see the orange robot arm? You know, one of those robots that looks like it's made for building cars and things?
Yeah.
That's the kind that I did an interview over at the robot lab a couple years ago, remember?
Oh, yeah. You're right.
The kids I was talking to were making it play cards. This one's apparently carving wooden bears or something out of stumps.
See, this is how Skynet started.
Yep. You give a robot a chainsaw and look what happens.
Yeah. He starts making, wooden sculptures. Next thing you know, he's carving up people.
This is a video of an industrial robot that's been programmed to carve logs into stools with a chainsaw. Afterwards, the stools are sold to folks who came to watch the robot in action. Wow, what a fun way to spend a Saturday morning. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I'd like to see it. I'd go there.
Yeah.
Does it say where it is?
Watch it fake a malfunction, and when you get a little close, you know. It's going to become sentient, a robot arm with a chainsaw.
And then they'll make a movie, The Texas Instruments Chainsaw Massacre. You didn't see that one coming, did you?
No, I wasn't looking down the track.
Train hit you right in the face again.
Oh, boy.
It was just sitting there, man. Come on.
Okay.
I win.
That's pretty good. Yeah, you won. You got me.
Champ. Again. All right. Speaking of minifigs that we did at the top of the show, why Lego is awesome. A heartwarming story of a kid who lost a minifig.
I think it's going to be coming on the story is going to be coming on the Hallmark Channel.
I have to do this in my softer, swarmy voice. This is Luca Apps, a 7-year-old kid from Great Britain. Luca got some money this Christmas, which he decided to spend in a shiny new Lego Ninjago Ultrasonic Raider set. Wow, where do they come up with these names? Yeah. Unfortunately, Luca lost one of his new favorite Lego minifigs on a shopping trip with his dad.
Oh.
I should be playing the violin music in the background, which made him very, very sad.
Yeah.
But instead of assuming his loss, he wrote the Lego headquarters. Hello, my name is Luca Apps, and I'm 7 years old. With all my money I got for Christmas, I bought a Ninjago kit from Ultrasonic Raider Thingamabob with a really long name. This is number 9449. It's really good. My daddy just took me to Sainsbury's and took me to leave the people at home, but I took them and I lost JZX.
Isn't that the rapper?
Yeah.
At the shop as he fell out of my coat. I'm really upset. I lost him. Daddy said to send you an email and see if you'll send me another one. I promise I won't take him to the shop again if you can. Soon he received a new minifig in the mail, along with this letter from Lego. Luca, you dumb wanker.
Oh, sorry. Is that
is that German? Ruin an explicit tag?
Where are they at? They're in the Netherlands, aren't they?
I told Sensei Wu that losing your J minifigure was purely an accident and that you would never, ever, 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 ever let it happen again, would you?
No.
He told me to tell you, Luca, your father is Darth Vader. I mean, your father seems like a very wise man. You must always protect your Ninjago minifigures like dragons protect the weapons of Spinjitzu. Wow, they're speaking his language. Sensei Wu also told me it was okay to send you a new J and told me it would be okay if I included something extra for you because anyone that saves their Christmas money to buy an ultrasonic radar Ninjago super spin whatchamacallit must really be a big Ninjago fan. So, I hope you enjoy your stinking J minifigure with his weapons. I mean, I'm kind of embellishing here if you can't tell. You will actually have the only J minifigure that combines three different J's into one. Sounds like a marketing ploy, but we'll go with it. I'm also going to send you a bad guy for him to fight. Well, yeah, what good is a good guy if he doesn't have a bad guy to whoop on?
Yeah, duh.
Just remember that's what Sensei Wu said. Keep your minifigures protected like the weapons of Spinjitzu. And of course, always listen to your dad.
Oh, boy.
Is that really what you wanted me to read?
You know, yeah. No, you know, you should write Apple and tell them you lost your iPhone and see what happens.
You think that would work? I saved up all my Christmas money.
Yeah, you'd get one of those famed emails from Steve Jobs that says, too bad.
You know, point being, Lego is awesome.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, what was
they
that
sent thing? This little boy his toy, his lost toy, and an extra.
Well, remember the story we had not too long ago where this one boy was saving his money over a long period of time to buy this one train set, I think it was.
Yep.
And they quit making it. So Lego actually went out and found one and gave it to him.
All right.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So he ended up getting it anyway. So
total sidetrack here because my mind is all over the place tonight. I'm listening to an audiobook about the biography of Abraham Lincoln. There's a podcast tie in here. Just hold on for it. One of the candidates in the 1860 election was named John Bell.
Oh, really? Yeah. Wow.
Every time they mention that, I kind of chuckle and I hear Arnie Crunchbar's voice.
Yeah, that's funny.
Arnie's a speechwriter.
I do have one more. Wait a minute. Before we move on, I do have one more point about the story we just talked about with the kid. In other news, Luca App is suing Apple for using the app in the App Store.
There you go. I'm sure he'll get away with that. Then he'll have lots more Christmas money.
Netscapades on ice. Come see Matthew Willington perform the interpretive dance set to ice of the .com boom and burst on ice. See Microsoft, Amazon, and Netscape battle it out for their piece of the pie. Netscapades on ice. Watch CEOs vying for a new part of this new frontier. Netscapades. Coming to the Hallmark Union Square, November 13th. It's an experience you'll never forget. On ice.
Facts and strange stories. It turns out in the science news that the Earth was hit by a massive gamma ray burst in the year 775.
So we're all going to turn into Hulks.
I knew I sensed a disturbance in the force.
Yeah.
A team of scientists determined that... Now, do you know what a gamma ray burst is?
Some radiation.
That's like the most explosion. It's the most nastiest radiation that you can get when
I've
a star
seen it
goes
back
super,
in the 70s on TV, the Hulk TV show.
A supernova goes right. Well, gamma rays in general are bad, but when a supernova, you know, a star explodes into a supernova, it spews out these jets of gamma rays, and if you happen to be in line with that, if it's close enough, it'll annihilate everything on Earth. I mean, it's the most nastiest, devastating thing space can throw at you, at least that we know so far. Well, apparently we were hit by one some 1,300 years ago.
And to quote Nick
Good quote.
Fury. No, what? No, he always said, in the Avengers, he said, gamma rays could be bad.
Yes, they can.
Okay, there you go.
A team of scientists determined that Earth was hit by a massive gamma ray burst, the most powerful explosion known in the universe. See, I know what I'm talking about sometimes. And yeah, all the way back to AD 775. Last year, researchers discovered ancient cedar trees in Japan that contained unusual levels of radioactive carbon-14, as well as spikes of beryllium-10 in Antarctic ice. By analyzing the tree rings and using ice core data, the researchers pinned the presence of both sets of radiation to the years AD 774 and 775. These kinds of radioactive isotopes are created when intense radiation hits atoms in the upper atmosphere of our planet. Now, the BBC reports, scientists suggest that they are the result of massive gamma ray bursts which hit the planet during medieval times. Professor Ralph Neuhauser, from the Institute of Astrophysics at the University of Jena explains, we looked in the spectra of short gamma ray bursts to estimate whether this would be consistent with the production rate of carbon-14 and beryllium-10 that we observed. And we found it is fully consistent. Gamma ray bursts are very, very explosive and energetic events, worse than irritable bowel syndrome. And so we considered from the energy that what would be the distance given of the energy observed. The conclusion was 3,000 to 12,000 light years away. And this is within our galaxy. Ooh, something exploded and aimed at us. I'm surprised we're still around. I'm
surprised they didn't clean up after themselves.
Must have been the range. I wonder what the after effects were. Was it like exceptionally cold or something else for a number of years?
Yeah, I wonder, that's what I was wondering, if, you know, our ancestors all turned green and beat each other up. That's what happened to
Neanderthals. Let's read on. Such a burst sounds dramatic, and it certainly left an enduring impact, but our medieval ancestors might not have noticed it. Most of the radiation would have been absorbed by the atmosphere and then made its way to the planet's surface over a long period of time. Sadly, there would have been no blinding flash of intense visible light to signal the burst, either. Well, yeah, because gamma ray isn't visible. But it's amazing to find out that a once-in-a-million-year event shook the planet so recently. That's awesome.
So recently? I'd say that is 1,000 years ago.
It's once-in-a-million years, dude. That's really recent.
Okay.
I saw a poster on Facebook. It's, or maybe it was Google Plus. It said, remember, never forget 1221, 65 million BC. And it's got the dinosaurs going, run, mammals! We will protect you from the asteroid!
Yeah. Yeah, right.
A little cartoon. That's what made me think of that. Okay, remember back in the day when Atari was the big name on video games?
I remember. I pine for the days.
Unfortunately, they filed for bankruptcy protection.
No!
Yep, the LA Times is reporting that Atari Inc. is filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, which could see the retro computer game company live on. Oh, if they didn't have that, they'd be gone the way of the dinosaurs 65 million years ago.
Intellivision was like, yes! Oh.
The filing will help free the company from French parent Atari SA, formerly Infogram. Currently, Atari Inc. owes a huge chunk of cash to a company called Blue Bay Asset Management. Bankruptcy protection could see the brand live on, at least for a while. If it can manage that, things could turn up. The newspaper cites a knowledgeable person, that was a quote. I could be a quoted knowledgeable person too, who claims that involved hope to develop Atari Inc. into the modest business based on, quote, digital and mobile platforms. More Atari iPhone games. Woohoo!
Hey, actually, I just spent the $10 on the Atari pack so I could use my iCade.
I gotta look. Are they still listed on the stock market?
Atari?
Yeah. Atari.
I don't know.
Atari. Avatar Ventures Company? No. Atari. Atari. No, I don't see them. I don't see them listed on the stock market anymore. Bummer. Ancestry is no longer listed either. They got like reorganization, regrouped, and gone. All of a sudden, I found like $3,200 in my stock fund. I went, hey, how come my phone doesn't say anything for Ancestry anymore?
Actually, Atari is ATA is the symbol.
ATA, that's an old hard drive controller protocol.
Yeah, they're ATA. yeah, their stock's not looking that great right now.
Might be a buy opportunity. But don't listen to us. We're not a finance podcast. All we know is goofy stuff like 80s tech inventions that never really took off. I saw this.
Do tell.
Do tell, like briefcase alarms.
Briefcase alarms.
Don't resist. Let that mugger grab your briefcase. As he escapes, punch a code in your transmitter. Vision clouding red smoke billows forth an ear-piercing shriek sound. Okay, that sounds like a real winner. I want an exploding briefcase in case someone steals my money.
By the way, the woman on the opening picture here on the article, she looks like part of the Borg. That's the early Google Glass.
We're getting to that. That's what I'm thinking of. Gullwing doors. Remember, those were supposed to be the big thing. They didn't take off on cars.
Were in some respects. As in...
DeLorean?
It wasn't a... Yeah, because it set the DeLorean aside. You know,
they didn't take off as the thing, though.
No, you're right.
The
no, it didn't.
Speaker vest. You shouldn't wear headphones while on a bike. So plug your portable stereo into the stereo sound vest. Mm-hmm. This is all from Popular Science, by the way.
You know what this reminded me of? This thing right here. Remember, we talked about it and remember the name
phone.
Of it. But yes, the bone phone.
I still want one of those to hack into my iPod.
Play music. Yep. What's that?
I still want to hack one of those to my iPod.
I want to buy one. Can you get them on eBay?
Keep looking. How about the electric doormat? This German invention wins the prize for the most elaborate and expensive alternative, the simple act of wiping your feet on a doormat. Quote, stride across this mat and moving belts of bristles brush dirt from your shoes without tripping you. That's nice.
Yeah.
What else do they have in this box of collection? The convertible car. ITAL Design envisioned a world where a car manufacturer could focus construction efforts on a model of car, which is in fact several models. Likewise, wasn't that the impetus behind the Volkswagen thing? You could take the doors off, you could take the doors on, you could put a top on, you could put the door top off. You could that worked out well. Number 6, the vibrating sauna.
Yeah, look at the woman in there. Bow-tick-a-wow.
Look at the 80s hair on her.
Yeah.
Need we say more? Here's
look at
one
that 80s
that,
towel.
Here's one that has actually come back in a different life. The Everything Card, resembling a slightly thicker credit card, this prototype Smart Card International featured a battery-powered two-line LCD screen with a 10-key alphanumeric keypad. It was designed to fulfill the functions, get this, of a bank card and security access card, and to be used with payphones and parking meters. It could even be used to store fingerprints, medical records, and keep track of your calorie intake.
Things we do now, but not
exactly.
With a card.
Right. And your phone is about getting to the size of a credit card.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's not far off. Yeah.
Yeah. Dome homes.
Hey, wait a minute. You haven't seen my home.
I know where one is. In the Upper Peninsula.
I do. I have seen a couple of these. I'm trying to think where, but I want to say near the Outer Banks or something like that.
There's only one that I know of on County Road 553 in Marquette County. The Do-All System is number 9. AM, FM stereo, micro cassette recorder, player, calculator, digital clock with a wake-up alarm. It's all in one, and it all fits in your hand. In June 1983.
And now we have the same thing, but it's called a cell phone.
That's right. It records, it calculates. What? No, mine doesn't do radio. Because that's what we need. And number 10, head-mounted displays, which are coming back as Google Glass. This is just one that, when I worked for the engineering company, they actually made a head-mounted display.
Yeah, it's not impossible. I saw some DIY projects that make your own, using was it the Raspberry Pi or something like that as the computer? So it's kind of small. Yeah, you can do it.
It was all good fun back then.
Mm-hmm.
cell phones. Onto the geek
library. Those never made it out of the '80s.
Speaking of my pun before about the Texas Instruments Chainsaw Massacre, you found a picture of, who is this? A rapper named T.I.?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not affiliated with the calculators. You should have put this in our Technorama Facebook page, man.
You know what? Even without the name, he looks like somebody not affiliated with any calculators.
I don't know. He kind of looks like a nerd. He looks like the nerdiest rapper I've ever seen.
I just thought that was
nerd
funny.
Nerd rap, it's a new thing.
I just thought that was funny, T.I. Not affiliated with the calculators.
That's what the caption of the picture says. I want to thank, before we go, I want to thank my longtime friend Mark Payne. I had lunch with him. I used to work with him many, many years ago. And we've both gone separate ways, but we're still in the same area. And I was transferring some 8mm videos to the computer when I came across the year 2000. He was giving me a guided tour through the construction. We were doing a building expansion, and he was the project manager behind that. And I went, boy, if that... But it was really kind of a bizarre video. It looked like I had the camcorder on when I shouldn't have.
Yeah, like you were holding it the wrong way or something?
Like I was holding around waist level. So most of what you saw was ass shots.
Great.
and jackhammers were going, and it was like, I don't know what was going on. And I thought, well, this is the most bizarre video. Like, I shouldn't have been videoing. It was some bootleg thing. Yeah. So I thought, you know what? I'm not connected to him on LinkedIn. So I hooked up with him. I said, hey, Mark, we got to grab lunch. We had to adjust schedules a couple times. But last Friday, we actually had lunch together. And it was like good old times. He's still watching sci-fi, and we caught up how our kids are doing. You know, they're much older, going to college and stuff.
Yeah.
And because we haven't seen each other's kids since they were like,
well, 13 years. You said 2000, right?
Right, right. Yeah, a lot of time has gone by. And he said, okay, what are you watching on TV? And he says, do you watch Fringe? I said, yeah, loved all of it. Just watched the end of it. And I said, you know, the show that I was watching was Farscape, but Netflix pulled it from their instant queue. And I was kind of bummed because I was halfway through season two. And he looks at me and goes, that's really bizarre. Because on a whim, I was at Best Buy and picked up the box set for Christmas. I'll loan it to you. And he was happening to drive. He lives about 10, 15 miles south of me. And he happens to be going by my house later in the afternoon. So 3 hours later, I got the complete Farscape set in my hand. Woohoo! I get to finish watching.
Yay. So
thank you very much, Mark, for loaning me your DVD collection. You never know what happens when you hook up with old friends. You get bonus features like that. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
That was cool. So it was just an awesome day.
Well, by the way, before we wrap up, since we got a few minutes, I was going to tell you, for my birthday, I got the iCade. You know, the arcade cabinet.
It's the miniature arcade cabinet. Yes, but you didn't share any pictures with us.
I know. Actually, I forgot to do that, which is kind of weird that I would do that. That's kind of weird. That is weird that I would think it was, I didn't think to put pictures up. Anyway, I will. But I don't have an iPad anymore, which is a problem. But anyway, it doesn't. To be honest with you, it doesn't matter. The controller and everything, the buttons, it's all Bluetooth. So technically, I could pair it up with my computer. But I can use the Android tablet. I can use an iPad. So Harrison and I had bought the Atari collection that's on the Apple Store, the iTunes Store.
And, nice.
Yeah, and we were able to play some of the games. It works really well. There's actually a groove right above the controllers, so you don't have to actually use just an iPad. You can really use any tablet. You know, stick it in there.
Can you line up your quarters in the slot like you used to on the old video games?
So yeah, I guess you could. You could use that GUI for that. But what's funny is the 25-cent button on the front is actually the Bluetooth indicator. It lights up when you're paired up, and when you're not, or when you're in pairing mode, it blinks. You know, that kind of thing. So
really odd that you mentioned that, because just last night I had a dream about that special little tool we used to make that I learned how to make in college to jimmy rig the Midway games and getting free credits.
Oh, come on, man. You didn't do that.
Oh, no. So a friend of mine told me about that.
Sure. Yeah. No. So anyway, this is pretty cool. There's no real coin slot. It's just the coin light. But
very
anyway,
cool. I want to see pictures. Put them out there.
I'll post some pictures. I'll do it after we get done with the show.
Happy birthday again, by the way.
Thank you. I had a good time. Had my lemon meringue pie. I'm in good shape.
After a lemon meringue pie, nobody's in good shape. Yeah. You gotta go running a few miles for that one.
Well, no, about when I was 10, my mom asked me and my brother at the time, what we wanted for our birthdays, cake-wise. And I said, well, I want a lemon meringue pie. So that's like my tradition now. Instead of cake, I always get a lemon meringue pie. Now, the candles don't stand up in it very well.
No.
But it doesn't matter. But that's,
you just need bigger candles, like one of those big kind that sit in the middle of the table.
Yeah.
3-inch diameter candle, suckers.
Like a Yankee candle.
Right. Yeah. Scented thing. It'll stand up.
Hey, wait. I bet they have lemon meringue pie candle.
I'll bet they do. Why don't you go to Yankee Candle and find out? Yeah. They certainly have the air freshener thing that you put in your car vent in front of that. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, just for throwing this out there, I did see a bone phone on eBay. They want $50 for it.
Is it a buy it now?
The buy it now is $75.
I'll hold up.
If it was cheaper, I might do it just to try it.
I'd do 30. See, I might even do 50 just on a whim.
That's what I'm saying. About 20, 30 bucks, I would jump on it.
All right. Keep your eye out. I'm going to keep that in the back of my mind. There's a personal birthday present.
Hey, or you can get the manual for $8.
The manual? That takes us to the end of the show on that note. Hey, if you like the show, you got comments, do what Mark in Memphis did. Or Mark from Memphis. I got to still correcting myself. What about 8 years later? Call the listener line 206-222-CHAT 206-222-2428. You never know. It might still be in your speed dial. If not, you can always put it there. Email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook. Speaking of Facebook, thank you everybody for liking us. Keep liking us on the Facebook page and watch for the content there. That's where we usually put a lot of the visual stuff. And even Google+, we're there too. We're everywhere. It's like Chicken Man.
Yeah. You turn around. We're there.
Thanks to Man Marv for providing all the great blog content during the week. Everyone who sent us links and emails and all that good stuff, thank you very much. And you guys who joined us on the Hangout, I know some of you had to go a little early, but we appreciate you seeing us there on Sunday night. And it's always fun to just hang out with friends. And thank you, listener, for downloading and listening to the show. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find them more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with a whole bunch of great podcasts. Find them at farpointmedia.com. If you're getting the show the old-fashioned way, hey, you know what? You can click on the website. But you can also get this delivered to you for free by finding us on iTunes or just go to the website. Everything's there for what you need. ChuckChat.com is where you'll find it. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama. And as always, binary high five.
Ooh, 101, Chuck.
Thank you, Invisible Craig.